For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Untangling your knots with rain. About untangling your knots using RAIN. And RAIN is an acronym that stands for Recognize, Allow, Investigate, and Nurture. I can't remember the person who created it, but it was made popular by Tara Brach. And I noticed that Kristen Neff is also talking about RAIN and some of her things. Kristen is the self-compassion researcher. And she says rumination is often fueled by feelings of fear, shame, and inadequacy. Because self-compassion directly counters these insecurities, it can help unravel the knot of negative ruminations as surely as detangling spray. And my knots need a lot of detangling spray. If you're like me, you find yourself getting caught up in all these emotional tangles and knots, worrying about unskillful past behavior, about relationships in your family or with your friends and who did what. Most of us are more and more concerned about our health or health of loved ones. Climate change, politics, you name it, we got all these things that come at us and make us feel really out of control or really tense and tight. And how we handle worries runs on a continuum from feeling overwhelmed and helpless to feeling anxious, which just spurs us to action. And then on the other side, it's ignoring the facts and pretending it's no big deal. And we all have a predominant way we do that. But throughout the day, you probably have touched all three of those things, depending on the circumstances and what's going on. So we have three choices. We can bury our head in the sand. We can be overwhelmed, or we can acknowledge our worries, and one of the tools we can use to process our worries is called RAIN. And RAIN, which again stands for Recognize, Allow, Investigate, and Nurture, helps you apply mindfulness and self-compassion to the emotional tangles in your life. Each step of RAIN helps you undo the knots by deconditioning the habitual ways in which you resist moment-to-moment experience. It doesn't matter whether you resist what is by lashing out in anger, by getting drunk, or by getting immersed in obsessive thinking, or my go-to, getting obsessed with busyness. What you're doing is you're attempting to control the life within and around you. And when you're trying to control something you can't control, it cuts you off from your own heart, and it cuts you off from actually living in the present moment in this world. You know, we see the hurtful words of a friend, but we don't see how that friend is suffering. Often their hurtful words are the result of their suffering, and the result that they're suffering so much they can't even see that we've been reaching out our hands to help them. And as neuroscientists have discovered, learning to deepen our attention with meditation activates parts of the brain that correlate with self-awareness. So we can become aware of our unconscious fears and of our limiting beliefs. We can recognize how our unmet needs keep us armored and grasping. We can begin to see how the whole sense of who we are has been confined and obscured by these ego coverings we put over ourselves. So we all have masks that we wear so that people will like us and will look good. And those masks might work in the short run, but what they do, the more masks we put on, the heavier they get, the more they bind us. And pretty soon, we cannot see the person inside of us. We cannot see that goodness inside of us. Probably every one of us knows a guy who's really, really a tough guy, and everyone thinks he's a really tough guy. And if you ever took the time to get to know him, you see that deep inside he's just a teddy bear. That's what we do. We confine ourselves so we can't get to the goodness that's inside. So when you bring rain to the experience of any emotional tangle or not, you can see the vulnerability that drives it, the vulnerability that put on those masks or built that brick wall. And you'll awaken your capacity for self-compassion. And this will loosen the grip of selfishness or any other ego coverings that you put on yourself. So what we need to do is just make a couple chinks in that armor so that some of our light can get out and we can learn to see. So if you scan for the last couple of days, just notice, just take a moment to stop and think about, when have you turned on yourself in some way? And what I mean by that is, maybe you didn't take care of a relationship. Maybe you didn't take care of yourself. You ate that whole bag of M&Ms. You didn't do something in a skillful manner, and you beat yourself up about it. Maybe you lashed out in anger. Maybe you just were not careful and you made a mistake. Maybe you're at war with yourself for not taking good enough care of your needs or your partner's needs or your friend or your child. Or maybe it's just something that's really difficult to deal with at work. So let's just take a moment to think about ways that we've turned on ourselves in the last couple of days, so that you have at least one example in your mind that you can work through as we talk through rain. Okay, so the four components of rain are recognize what's happening inside and outside of me. Allow, can I be with what's happening just for this moment? Investigate what's happening inside myself, my feelings, sensations, emotions, beliefs. And nurture, what does the hurting, frightened, wounded place inside of me need right now? So we'll start by recognizing, and recognize is simply to become aware of what's happening right now without rose-colored or dark glasses. It's seeing what's true in your inner life. What are your thoughts? What are you feeling? And you might have to peel back the feeling. We'll do that when we investigate to see really what's underneath that feeling. And what are the behaviors that are affecting you? Because the behaviors that you do right in the present moment impact your future. They help write your next chapter. Some of those thoughts are your inner critic judging you, or painfully repeating criticisms or beliefs about you. And even if we ignore it, it keeps poking at us underneath. So we have this inner critic that's saying you're not good enough, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, and it keeps poking at us underneath. And when we're poked unconsciously, we feel uncomfortable sensations in our body. You know, you get that restless feeling of I want something, and chocolate just doesn't fulfill it. And sometimes we just ignore those sensations because they happen so often. You're just like, oh, well, that's just how it is. And maybe we do it by just going with our leg and thinking. And I've asked people, you know, does that soothe you? And they think, yes, it does. But if it really soothed me, wouldn't I be able to stop at any, wouldn't I have the, not have the need to move my leg anymore and just stop and be calm? Until something distracts me, my leg would just keep going. Because there's something underneath poking at me that I don't like and I don't want to deal with. So the shaking your leg releases some of your anxious energy, but that anxiety keeps feeding because there's something poking underneath us. And so what we need to say is that shaking leg is my bell of mindfulness. It's saying pay attention to what's going on in your body right now and recognize what's happening. Recognize whatever the thought is, whatever the emotion or the feeling is that's arising right here and right now. And notice that some parts of your experience are a lot easier to connect with than others. It's much easier for me to connect with a feeling of joy at seeing a friend than it is for me to connect with a feeling of not good enough. That maybe seeing somebody brings up in me, reminds me. So it's we really have to pay attention. And when our body's feeling jittery, we have to recognize what this might mean. Sometimes when you're feeling jittery, it's because it's a belief that you're going to fail. And if you're jittery and you believe you're going to fail, guess what? You're probably going to fail because you're all tensed up and you're not seeing things clearly. And so you want to be aware of that. You know, sometimes you feel this hollowness inside yourself and you think you're hungry, but food doesn't fill that hollowness. It's the sense of unworthiness or maybe some shame inside of you. And if we don't recognize what is really going on, then we're not going to be able to fix it. So you're simply asking yourself, what's happening inside of me right now? And you call your natural curiosity to look inward. And you try and let go of the preconceived notions of people of that people have told you you're supposed to feel this and you're supposed to do this. And instead, just listen to yourself in a kind, receptive way. To say, this is what's really happening. So part of recognize is if you ever go to a lake that's all stirred up because some kids were running around and it's got a muddy bottom and you can't see the bottom of this lake because it's all stirred up. But if those kids go away and that lake sits for 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden you can see all the way down to the bottom. So when we're recognizing, we're letting our mind rest a little bit so it's not so clouded up. And then we have to allow. And allow doesn't mean I like what's happening. It means I'm admitting to myself that this suffering actually exists. I'm admitting to myself that I don't feel like I'm good enough, or I'm admitting to myself that I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And we clearly see that the external world is not meeting our needs the way we wanted them to. Things are not turning out the way we expected. And part of allowing is accepting the fact that we can't change it. We can't change a lot of the things that are going on in politics today. And they can be very upsetting to us. But there's nothing we can do about it. So if we just ruminate about it, it's not going to make any difference. What we have to do is accept, yes, I really don't like this, and I can't do this, but what I can do is, and for me, my answer is I can be more mindful in the world and try and spread mindfulness so more and more people act with kindness and look at things with curiosity rather than with vengeance. So we have to look at it and say, I can't control it, and it's there. And then I have to figure it out. When we talked about grief, we said you can't control grief. You can't make it go away, but you still got to build your life around it. So you're allowing, you're stopping fighting against what's real, because when you fight against reality, guess who loses every single time? You do. If you fight against reality, you're going to lose, because reality is there. And so by allowing, we can turn towards our thoughts rather than pushing them away, saying, I don't want to feel this. If we have some demons, rather than saying, I'm getting rid of them, we can say, I'm going to turn and hold them gently and see what's going on with them. So that, and what will happen is some of their power will go away because we turn toward ourselves. And we start untangling that knot because we accept that it's there. If you're trying to untangle a knot and you're just going crazy and you're all upset about it, the knot gets tighter and tighter. But if you stop and you really look at the knot and say, oh, there's the piece that goes to the end, you can untangle it. So until you accept that there's this knot, your attempts to untangle it are probably just going to make it tighter and tighter. So we don't want to push things away. We just want to accept this is what's really happening now in this moment. And I'm going to pay attention to it instead of just jumping on the hamster wheel of reactivity and reacting to it. Kristen Neff says, just say, these are the thoughts and the emotions that are arising in my consciousness in the present moment. Just stop and tell yourself, this is what's happening right now. And then as you become more present with whatever it is, a different quality of attention is going to emerge. It's really hard to just be with things, to just say, okay, I'm just going to sit with the fact that I feel like I'm not worthy or I feel like I'm going to fail. But if I do that, my attention changes. And so what you might want to do is add a little self-compassion into allowing and just say, yeah, this is happening, or this too, or I can be with this just for this moment. I don't have to say I'm going to be with this forever, but I can be with this for just this moment, and then I might need to distract myself or whatever. And allowing is not the opposite of rejection. Because true allowing means not judging. It's just saying it is. It's not saying it's good. It's not saying it's bad. It's saying it is. It's not rejecting and it's not approving. It's just because those are actions of moving toward or away, rejection and approval. Allowing is really not an action at all. It's just, can I be with this? Can I be with this? And sometimes just working through those first two steps of rain take care of the emotional tangle because it wasn't that big of a knot. But a lot of other times when you're in the thick of a divorce or about to lose a job or have a major health issue or dealing with a difficult partner or sibling, you need more than that because you're easily overwhelmed by intense feelings. They come up and they overwhelm you. And because these feelings are repeatedly triggered, your reactions become very entrenched. So you have a difficult relationship with a sibling or partner or a parent, and every time they do something, your reaction is exactly the same, even though it makes things worse, not better. That happens. To keep that from happening, what we want to do is investigate. Call on our natural curiosity to see what's really going on. This isn't an intellectual analysis that's going to leave you feeling drained. If you're feeling drained, you're way too much in your head. The investigation is just letting your mind rest so that that pond isn't so muddy and cloudy. So that you can see through all your mental chatter. And what is it that's clouding your mind? Well, it's probably something like jealousy, pettiness, entitlement, envy, anger, just to name a few. And we've got to let them settle down by investigating. Instead of when something happens, our investigation usually is, what did they do and why did they do it? But our investigation really needs to start with us to calm that cloudy mind, to let the mud settle so we can see what's really happening. And so we call on our natural curiosity and say, what most wants my attention right now? How am I experiencing this in my body? What am I believing? When someone says something, it might trigger a belief that's no longer true. What does this feeling want from me? And what's it like to live my life with this belief? I had to do that over and over. What is it like to live my life with the belief that if I let people get close to me, they won't like me? Pretty lonely. But until I practiced RAIN and started recognizing how I push people away because I was afraid, allowing that fear to be there, and starting to investigate, oh, here's what's going on, and here's where it came from, and this is what this belief does to my life, then I couldn't make any change. So we're not analyzing the situation, who said what and why, because that only strengthens your neural pathways of being a victim. And we're not victims. Yes, stuff happens around us, but we can control our response. So instead, what we're doing is noticing what's underneath those feelings. We are all have a resistance to feeling uncomfortable and not safe. And when you're investigating these feelings, you start out feeling uncomfortable and unsafe. But the more you do it, the stronger you get and the more you're able to do that. And so instead of leaving and going to our thinking mind, we just stay with the body and say, what's going on here? And figuring out what we need instead of judging what's happening. So you think about what feelings and sensations are really strong right now in this moment. Because that sensation might become your Bella mindfulness for the next time it's coming up. And you can catch it before the feeling gets too strong. Because the weaker the feeling is when you catch it, the easier it is to process the feeling. Are there particular emotions associated with that feeling? Are there particular beliefs associated with that feeling? Do you feel a sense of fear or shame or anger or self-hatred? And you keep widening the investigation. How has living with this belief changed my life? And you look at the impact it has on how you relate to yourself and how you relate to other people, on your creativity, on your capacity to serve, on your ability to enjoy life. So you look at what your intention is. Is my intention here in this moment to tear someone down and one-up them because I'm not feeling good? Or is my intention in this one moment to try and improve the situation in whatever way I can? You might ask yourself, what's it like, honestly, to see and feel how this belief has shaped my life? So investigating, you're asking questions like, what do you long for most right now? Is it attention, safety, acceptance, connection, understanding, love? What is it that you need? And that brings us to the fourth step of RAIN, which is nurture. And nurture is really just providing self-compassion to ourselves. We train ourselves to allow self-compassion to arise naturally whenever we recognize that we're suffering. By nurturing ourselves with self-care, it gives us the strength to face those uncomfortable emotions and helps us realize we're not alone. To nurture ourselves, we have to let go of the belief that we do not deserve to be nurtured. I don't know about you, but I kind of grew up with this belief that I had to take care of everyone, and I did not deserve to have people taking care of me. And to this day, I still have trouble, except, you know, if my husband holds out a hand to help me get down from a rock or whatever, no, I can do it myself. Because I feel like I don't deserve to be nurtured, but I do. So nurturing is sensing what the frightened, wounded, hurting place inside of you most needs. And then offering some gesture of active care that might address this need. Think about how you would treat a loved one in that same situation, and then do it to yourself. Offer the same kind words, the same gestures that you would to a valued friend. It might be giving reassurance, forgiveness, simply companionship, understanding, or love. You may choose to mentally whisper to yourself one of the following phrases that Tara Brach recommends. I'm here with you. I'm sorry, and I love you. I love you, and I'm listening. It's not your fault. Trust your goodness. So to nurture, you're asking, what does that frightened, hurting place need? And then you're giving yourself whatever it is that you need. So if you look at the order of RAIN, it sounds like you go R-A-I-N. There's steps to be taken in order. But not really. Sometimes you can't recognize until you've nurtured. And sometimes you think you've recognized and allowed, and then you get to investigation and thought, no, I'm up here and the iceberg's way down here. So they're not steps that you take in a particular order. You do them as you need them. And often they do flow in that order, but it's not necessary. When you're dealing with something overwhelming, you're more likely to have to bounce from one to the next because it is overwhelming. And so if you want to untangle your knots, you have to recognize what you're feeling, allow the external situation and your feelings about it to be whatever it is they are, investigate what's happening inside of you and what most needs attention, and then nurture yourself with self-care.